meaning that everything outside of their little bubble doesn't even exist. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, like the people who went out and worked on Thanksgiving Day, even though they got paid for staying home, you know, all they were thinking about is, well, I can buy a few more presents. And they weren't worried about
and Democratic senators had said they would not support his nomination. President Bush gave Bolton a temporary recess appointment in August of 2005, which would expire this January. President Bush met with a top Shiite leader, Abdul Aziz al-Hakim, today in Washington. He is considered a political rival of anti-American cleric Muqtada al-Sadr and also has close ties with Iran. Al-Hakim, the head of the largest Shiite bloc in Iraq's parliament, met with Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice earlier in the day. In Iraq, four Marines have died after their helicopter made an emergency landing in a lake in the Anbar province today. That is the same region where a U.S. Air Force fighter jet crashed last week, killing the pilot. 12 others survived today's crash, which the military said was the result of mechanical failure. Including those four, a total of at least 13 U.S. service members have died in Iraq so far during December. The Senate Armed Services Committee confirmation hearings for Robert Gates, President Bush's choice to be the next defense secretary, will begin tomorrow. This weekend, a memo written by Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld one day before the midterm elections was leaked to the press. In it, Rumsfeld stated that there should be major adjustment in U.S. tactics in the Iraq war because, quote, what U.S. forces are currently doing in Iraq is not working well enough or fast enough, end quote. In Egypt, an American, 11 Europeans, and several Middle Easterners were arrested today. The Interior Ministry said they were part of an Islamic militant terrorist cell, which was plotting terrorist attacks in Middle Eastern countries. In Venezuela, President Hugo Chavez easily won his re-election to another six-year term. Chavez plans to implement more socialist policies both at home and abroad. In Santiago, Chile, 91-year-old former dictator General Augusto Pinochet is hospitalized after suffering a heart attack and undergoing surgery twice. In the Philippines, a U.S. Marine has been convicted and sentenced to 40 years in prison for the rape of a local woman. Three other Marines accused of cheering him on and their Filipino driver were all acquitted of complicity in the case. In Moore Park in Southern California, five homes have been destroyed by a wildfire when gusts have been up to 60 miles an hour. You are listening to the Quality News Network.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and the victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of rancor. You got married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
A Taco Bell fast food restaurant in South Plainfield, New Jersey, remains closed today. Health investigators are trying to find the source of an E. coli outbreak, which has sickened 19 people, two of them seriously. Drug maker Pfizer has stopped conducting trials on an experimental new drug for heart disease. In the clinical trial, 82 people died, and the drug maker decided to halt the medication entirely. Cable business channel CNBC has launched its own website today. For the past 5 years, it had an agreement with Microsoft's MSN Money. The Bank of New York will purchase Mellon Financial Corp. in an all-stock deal worth $16.5 billion. Nearly 10% of the combined workforce, or close to 4,000 jobs, will be eliminated in the takeover. President Bush may lift a moratorium on energy drilling in southwestern Alaska's waters. The ban had been in place for 17 years. The area is a rich fishing ground. However, there is a vast natural gas reserve beneath it. Gasoline prices prices are heading back up again. The Lundberg survey said the average national price for a gallon of self-serve unleaded gasoline was up 4 cents to $2.27. Light sweet crude is trading at $62.45 a barrel. And near the close of Wall Street today, the Dow is up 90 points at 12,283. The NASDAQ up 35. The S&P 500 up 12. There's always more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramov.
This is a top to a, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11, oh, 11,
and most of
11,
and amps 8. Go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Night Shift, where the children of the night fight the radical right. It's Foxed Up with John Fox. Foxed Up is brought to you by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream every day. Be one louder by calling 877, the number 4, head on. That's 877-443-2366. And now, your host, the ranting, headbanging hippie, John Fox.
G'day, g'day, g'day. Welcome aboard, everybody, for a Monday edition of Foxed Up. If you're in that part of the planet, it's Tuesday morning here in Sydney, Australia, and it's a happy day here in Australia. I gotta tell you, we have new leadership in the Australian leader in the Australian Labor Party, and it's a long time coming. It's a good thing. It's the most positive thing I've seen to come up in Australian politics for a long time, and it's going to create quite a shakeup. And we're going to get, I'm going to get into the details of this because I know for most of you in the States, you kind of, you know, probably don't know how the system works down here, and give you a little bit of background, shall we say. And you know, if you want to get in on the program, as always, you can email me at John, J-O-N, at headonradionetwork.com, or dial into 1-877-443-2366. I was saying at the end of last week that there was a leadership challenge looking like it was going to happen in the Australian Labor Party. Now, this is our opposition party at the moment. The Liberals are in power. That's John Howard and his mob. And Labor has been struggling. And it's been struggling for a few reasons. If not the key one being that they've been marginalized, one, by the media, two, by the Howard government, and three, by their own infighting. And as you know, we have the same problem in the United States. You know, with the Democrats, when they're in opposition, can sometimes, you know, be factioning and fighting and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, that's part of democracy. However, it just kind of seemed here that Kim Beazley, who had been the Labor leader for the last few years, and it was his second or third term as the Labor leader, and he's lost two elections so far to Howard, and which is kind of an unfair way to portray him in a way, because Kim Beazley has had a very, very positive record for the Labor Party over 25 years of public service. However, he just was not ever going to win an election for Labor. And there was a bit of a reality check that went on. And some people say that this leadership challenge in the party was brought on by the media, which may be partially true. The fact that polling showed that if the election were held, you know, now, actually before this leadership challenge, Labor would have won government, but yet John Howard was still the preferred prime minister. And this was purely because people did not have confidence in Kim Beazley. Whether that is justified or not, I'm not exactly sure. I actually think Kim Beazley could have been a very, very good prime minister if he could have gotten elected. But it came down to the fact that we are 10 months away from the next federal election here, and no matter what Kim was going to do, he wasn't going to win. And so, for the first time in Labor's history, as far as I understand, an actual designed team of leader and deputy leader had been created. Usually in these situations, you know, someone will nominate themselves for the leadership position and someone else will nominate themselves for the deputy leadership position. This is the first time that there has been a team, and the team is Kevin Rudd and Julia Gillard, two people in Labor that I have a whole lot of time for and a lot of respect for. They're hard-nosed politicians in the aspect that they don't crumble to criticism. They stick with the facts. They stick with their criticisms of the government and policy, and, you know, can fight it out with the best of them. So it was, you know, this was a very, very big deal, because this leadership challenge comes late in the game, some people thought. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think it was a bit of seeing the road ahead, seeing the fact that no matter how you polled it, Kim Beazley was not the guy to do it. So this comes down to what they call a caucus vote. And so the Labor Party caucus gathered yesterday morning, and there are 88 members in the caucus. And it takes 45 votes to win. It came down to, the votes were 49 to 39. So it was a pretty strong victory for as they've been referring to it in the press, and I want them to drop this as soon as possible, as the Dream Team, because I think it sets up media spin jokes, headline jokes, that kind of thing, because just like in the United States, we've got a very, very right-wing conservative media here. And they were already saying before the Labor challenge in the papers yesterday that, you know, it doesn't matter who's leading Labor, they can't win. Well, that's probably not the case. In fact, I am fairly confident, even before Rudd and Gillard have gotten their policy platform together, that they could finally, after over a decade in power, hand John Howard his head and send him home. And this is, and it's going to be on policy and the issues. It's not going to be about finger pointing and all this other kind of nonsense that confuses politics and confuses the electorate and also frustrates the bejesus out of them, as far as I'm concerned. So we're going to go into our first break, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to talk a little bit and explain to you exactly who Kevin Rudd is, who could be the guy to replace John Howard. And I guarantee you, he will not be sucking up to Bush. I can guarantee you that. We also have the track of the day, and this and the track of the day today is purely just an overture for a return to the greatness of the Labour Party here in Australia. We're going to do a track from Jimmy Barnes called Working Class Man. It was a song written for him by an American for when they tried to break him in the United States, but it's become a real working man's anthem here in Australia, and it's a wonderful tune, and Jimmy's a great guy, so we'll be doing that a little bit later in the program. So if you want to get in on the program, you know the number, 1-877-443-2366, or email me, John, J-O-N, at headonradionetwork.com. Drop into the chat room. There's a great bunch of people in there. The mods will take care of you. It's a great place to be. And we're going to have a couple of messages and be right back here on Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
Today, all Americans are feeling the pinch of high energy prices. And this winter, the cost of heating your home could account for nearly half of your energy bill. I'm Energy Secretary Sam Bodman, with steps you can take to save money and make your home more energy efficient. First, give your home furnace or heat pump a checkup to ensure it's running as efficiently as possible. Proper insulation in attic, ceilings, floors, crawl spaces, and exterior and basement walls can save 30% on your home energy bill. And insulate the heating ducts, even in unheated areas of your house. Finally, installing a programmable thermostat will ensure you don't pay for energy you aren't using. Program the thermostat down to 65 degrees for 8 hours a day to reduce your heating bill by up to 10%. You have the power to make a difference. You can reduce your home energy bills and help our nation reduce its energy use.
For more energy efficiency tips, please visit our website at www.doe.gov or call toll-free 1-877-337-3463. This powerful savings message is provided by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Alliance to Save Energy.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Fox Up here for a Monday afternoon or Tuesday morning, depending on where you live on this beautiful blue marble. I was talking about the new leadership in the Labour Party here in Australia. A little bit about Mr. Kevin Rudd. Now, this change of leadership is a very generational change. I don't know the exact details, but I think Julia Gillard's, you know, about 40. And I think Kevin Rudd would be in his early 50s, if I'm not mistaken. And this is the difference between, you know, Beasley was a little bit from an older generation, Howard's from an older generation, and this, I think, is going to create some broader appeal for the Labour Party in general. Now, Johnny Howard comes from, a fairly affluent background. You know, I don't think he's ever really, really struggled. On the flip side, Kevin Rudd grew up on a Queensland farm. At the age of 10, he lost his father due to an infection after a car accident, if I understand the story correctly. Now, they didn't own the farm. They were sharecroppers. He and his mother and his sister were then evicted from their farm and lived in their car for quite a while. Once they got themselves back on their feet, Kevin started to show the signs of a very, very intellectual young man in the making. He graduated with honors from his high school and his university. He's the first person in his family to, as he says, ever darken the doors of a university. He speaks fluent Mandarin. He has been working as the shadow foreign minister for quite a while. And when he made his first ever speech in 1998 in Parliament, he spoke about the fact that he saw universal health care as being one of the key responsibilities of government. Having been someone who was at one time disadvantaged, that we need to protect the weakest amongst us. And I believe that this is something that holds very, very true for him in what he's looking for in policy. They are, like I said, Kevin's impressed me since I first got to Australia, which is, geez, going on 8 years now. I think, I came to Australia shortly after both Kevin and Julia first were elected to federal parliament. And this is a guy who has not forgotten what it's like to struggle. He hasn't forgotten what it's like to feel hardship. And I think that this is a very, very, very good thing. And Kevin has also been on the front foot regarding Australia's policy on Iraq, also on the Australian Wheat Board scandal. And it's going to prove to be very, very, very interesting over the coming months. Now, they have not selected their front, what they call their front bench. The front bench is the ministers who are selected to take on the shadow portfolios of economics, defense, the environment, health and human services. Now, another thing that I'm finding interesting about what they're setting up here is very often the history of the Labour Party has ended up becoming a factional battle where you have, these different groups within the Labour Party that all want to tell the leader who they want in a particular portfolio. And this has not always led to the best person getting the job. Not saying that it's always been bad. But Kevin Rudd has come out and said he is now the leader of the party. He will decide who gets the portfolios. He is not going to let fighting between the inner factions decide who's going to get the portfolios. And he's asking for the public to get involved. He wants to know what the voters want. Now, here's an interesting concept. Asking what the voters want. And I think one of the most genius appointments that very well could come out of this is the circles of whispers are saying that Kevin Rudd, and Kevin Rudd has said that this is something that he desires, is to nominate the former lead singer of Midnight Oil, now minister, representative, Peter Garrett from Midnight Oil, as the shadow environment minister. Now, anyone who ever listened to a Midnight Oil record knows where Peter Garrett stands on human rights, the environment, indigenous affairs, all these unbelievably important aspects of our society. And I could not think of a better selection for shadow environment minister, which means that if they win the election, he would then be the minister for the environment. He's already got, you know, some people will try and say, oh, he's an old rock and roller, and that's garbage. This guy's been a political activist his entire life. He is one of the most educated, well-thought people in Australian public life. And I think he'll benefit from his years as of being the frontman of one of Australia's most political bands in history. He already has a certain level of trust with people, and also understand that because his heart guided him in his politics before he became a politician, when it comes to something like the environment, I think it will give power to his policy or his criticism of current government policy on the environment, which there isn't one. It's basically rape, pillage, and burn. And that is not a good thing. So we're coming up on the midway point of the show, so it's time to do our track of the day. And there's really not much intro to go into this. This is purely just a little bit of an anthem for hopefully what is going to be the return of the greatness of the Australian Labor Party. Here we go. Former lead singer of Cold Chisel, Jimmy Barnes, with Working Class Man. We'll see you after this.
Working hard to make a living, flinging shelter from the rain. My father's son left to carry on blue denim in his vein. Oh, he's a working class man. Oh,
there's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WBYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at
the Head On Radio Network.
Now get back to work.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black, and if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
You can see that in Alberta, diversity is very strong. You see people from different places, from different backgrounds, and we all have learned to live together. That's why Alberta is a great place to live.
We come from different places, and we have to accept each other because our backgrounds are different, our cultures are different, and we have to understand other people.
I think that our community, being as open as it is, just gives people a chance to really enjoy interaction between different cultures and really get to know each other without making any judgments.
Trabajando juntos podemos lograr la gran diferencia en la comunidad. That it means by working together we can make a big difference in our community.
To find out how you can make a difference, visit helpmakeadifference.com. This message is brought to you by the Government of Alberta and Global Television.
Everybody, welcome back to the second half of Foxed Up here for a Monday evening, Tuesday morning, depending on which part of the globe you're on. So I've been talking about the leadership change with the Australian Labor Party, and I was flipping around the blogosphere yesterday, and I saw one headline at one blog say it's Kay Rudd and Jay Gill. I kind of thought that was quite funny. To go to a man that I always go to, in fact, we had a bit of a chat on the phone yesterday, and one of these days I got to just set it up so I can record these phone calls so you can hear this stuff right from Mr. Dunlop's mouth. But and I know that this always catches people off guard, news.com.au, you go to the blogs, and this is Blogocracy. The blog, as Tim says, rapid-fire commentary and discussion of politics, values, and culture that doesn't suck. So his post yesterday, well, one of his posts, but of course the key one, was about the new leadership. And he gets into how biased the media is here. As you know, I mean, and you got to remember, we've got the Murdoch press here. And this is the funny part, is that Tim writes for Murdoch. And like I said, when they first asked him to do this, he says, "Have you read my blog?" And they said, "Yes, we love it." Anyway, the headline says, Rudd wins, but Howard can't lose. Now, this is coming from the fact that, you know, the Murdoch, the Daily Telegraph here yesterday had the headline before the results came out saying, Labor rudderless, and claiming that doesn't matter who leads, they can't win. Well, I'm sorry. This is just showing, I think, the fear that for the first time the liberals and the nationals who make up the coalition government feel about the fact that Kevin Rudd is now the new leader. I think a very important fact about Julia Gillard, the new deputy, she's a migrant. She's Welsh. Her family came here when she was very, very young. Do you think that this is going to have some effect on Australia's immigration policy, which is horrific? I think so. And she's made a call that we need to be, you know, a bit nicer to the people that come to this country, because Australia as a nation is pretty horrific. But from Tim Dunlop's Blogocracy blog, he says, so Kevin Rudd has won the Labour Party leadership. That's nice, but of course elite opinion would tell you that it counts for nothing. John Howard is unbeatable. Heard this before? There isn't a journalist or columnist in the country who thinks Mr. Howard will lose in 2007. Obviously, John Howard is convinced he will win, as is his entire party. Tony Abbott is so confident that he went on TV on Sunday and mocked Labour's chances at the next election. The basis of this opinion? That the government can't lose. It is an unshakable belief in the ability of John Howard to turn every positive into a negative, and an unending belief that the Australian people don't pay attention to politics. In other words, it's basic contempt for ordinary voters. And this is very, very true. So Tim goes through a bit of a list of the foibles of the Howard government. So he says, thus, all the cool kids from the Prime Minister down think that none of the following things matter to the Australian people. Interest rates have risen a number of times since the government said they would keep interest rates at record lows during the last election. The government didn't notice that AWB was funneling record sums of money to the regime of Saddam Hussein. The government doesn't think it needs to do anything about the lack of checks and balances that allowed the AWB scandal to happen. Mr. Howard refuses to acknowledge the real problems in Iraq, that his policy on Iraq is to wait until the Americans tell him what to do, and this is key. I think this is a point that is going to play across the Australian electorate in this next election, because Johnny Howard is really starting to look like just an American cheerleader, and it's just not, it's not washing. I think finally the spin has run its course to the point where the Australian people don't believe it. He continues on that he introduced industrial reforms legislation that has handed nearly all power in the workplace to employers. That it's their children who will ultimately bear the brunt of this IR environment. His education and training policies have left us with a dangerous skills shortage. I mean, Australia is really, really hurting for high-skilled workers. And it's because over the last 10 years, they've been absolutely decimating education, decimating workplace programs, internships, all this kind of thing. And he has no long-term strategy to deal with our huge environmental issues. That his recent conversion on the issue of global warming is anything other than short-term political expediency. And this is very true. You know, the public made it very clear that they would pay more for their energy if it would reduce greenhouse gas emissions. The Australian people want this stuff. But John Howard is a conservative zealot, and he only cares about the mining industry because we have lots of coal. Makes it very, very easy to have, you know, good numbers in your exports. However, it's all at the demise of the ecology of not only this nation, but the rest of the planet. So Tim kind of surmises all of this to say, to accept the idea that the coalition can't lose, you have to accept that none of this, none of it matters to the Australian people. That in turn is predicated on a belief that ordinary voters can be fooled about these matters on an ongoing basis, and that when it comes to doing that, nobody does it better than John Howard. They don't put it in those terms, of course, but every time you hear a commentator praise Mr. Howard's political skills, that's basically what they mean. Mr. Rudd might want to focus on these issues in the run-up to the next election, but he shouldn't expect any help from political pundits who have already made up their minds on behalf of the Australian people. Now, I think Tim's got it absolutely nailed here. And I do believe Kevin Rudd is going to put Iraq policy right on the front burner. He's going to put the environment right up there, because we've had this massive study come out on greenhouse gases, and it's all basically a pro-nuke policy, completely ignoring the fact that the Australian people don't want it. And it's such a spin of garbage, it's unbelievable. And what's interesting is also the reaction to the leadership change. On Tim's news.com blog, you know, he has some very, very heavy commenting that goes on, you know. I'd say, you know, anywhere from 25 to 60 comments. Well, the right wing nuts popped up yesterday after all this, and I mean, there's 112. And I've never seen right wing bats, wing nuts, jerks pop up in such droves, and all they do is go poo 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 poo, you're still gonna lose, poo 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 poo, you're still gonna lose, what do you mean we shouldn't listen to the U.S. when it comes to the coalition? Isn't that what friends do? Please. So things are going to be very, very, very different, I think, and I haven't seen question and answer yet in the parliament from yesterday. I'm hoping to be able to catch it this afternoon. But after a quiet handshake between Mr. Howard and Mr. Rudd, Kevin was ready to go and went straight after John Howard and his government over the Australian Wheat Board, over Iraq policy, and over the environment. And I think it's awesome. And I'm just really, really hoping that Labor's factional tendencies will settle down, and that they will get behind what I think is their best choice of leader in many, many, many years. And the fact that they have a powerhouse in Julia Gillard as deputy, who many believe has leadership aspirations of her own. And the media is going to try, and already has tried, to twist that as she's going to try and undermine Kevin Rudd. I don't believe that one bit. These two have worked side by side for 8 years now. And I think it's the first time that the Labor Party is actually really, really looking to the future in a long time. So it's getting on quarter till the top of the hour. We're going to take our final break and come back. And I got a little bit of a greeny thing for you when we get back. And so you're listening to Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network. We'll be back straight after this. Get you in. Strolling by with a rosebud smile. Up to kill, lean on the windowsill, look in your way with eyes of fire. Don't you slip, don't you slip.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters, all you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
Sex and drugs and rock and roll is all my brain and body need.
Agnes Kincaid, you're a bad girl. That track just cracks me up every time you play it. Welcome back to Foxed Up, everybody. Just my last comment today on the leadership change for the Labor Party. From The Age today, which you can get to at theage.com, says new Labor leader Kevin Rudd says he won't bow to factional pressure when he decides the makeup of his new front bench. He has also flagged an overhaul of the party's pre-selection process. The Labor front bench is traditionally foisted upon by the leader of the party's factions, which choose the faces and leave the leader to allocate portfolios. But Mr. Rudd, who defeated Kim Beazley yesterday's leadership ballot, 49-39, said he would install his own front bench, including former Midnight Oil frontman Peter Garrett. He says, "I'll be leading the show when it comes to the outcomes I want. I intend to get them," he told ABC Television. "I don't particularly care if anyone has opposing views. That's what is going to happen." Now, this sounds very, very kind of tough, and I'm not going to listen, but, you know, he's just saying, I'm not going to let all this splitting up of the party happen again. He's going to lead. And they keep talking about a new style of leadership, and I think that this is crucial. He and Julia are going to listen to the voters and create an opposition who could become the government that represents the people. Here's an interesting concept in modern democracy. So, you know, it's all proving very, very, very interesting. Anyway, to move on to other things before we run out of time, unfortunately, the website I am about to point you to seems to be down at the moment, but I'm going to mention it anyway because it was there this morning, it's been there for days, and it will come back. We keep looking for, you know, ways to cut our consumption as far as energy, raw materials, all that kind of stuff. Well, I stumbled on, and I believe I found this via treehugger.com, a very interesting little application for your Windows PC called Local Cooling. And at some point, hopefully in the near future, you'll be able to get to them at localcooling.com. There's a link on the show post today. And what this is a little 2.5 meg program that you install on your computer. It analyzes all the devices on your computer and tells you how much power each one uses. So it shows a list that my two monitors do, you know, pull 36 watts. I've got two hard drives, 16 watts. My CPU is 56 watts. My graphics card, blah, 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 all that. So, you know, in your Windows operating system, you know, you have some power saving settings, like, you know, putting your computer to sleep and all these kind of things to help reduce its energy usage. Well, this is kind of a skinned over version of that. Now, what makes it somewhat more interesting is you can very specifically select when you want your hard drives to spin down, when you want your monitors to shut off, whether you want the computer, if it hasn't been touched for a while, just to go into hibernate or automatically shut down. But what makes it the most interesting is the fact that it actually tells you what you've saved in greenhouse gas emissions. So, as an example, I've been running this little application for the, I don't know, about 4 or 5 days now, and it says, I have saved 0.089 trees, 8/10 of a gallon of crude oil, and 1.684 kilowatt hours of power just by setting this little program up. Now, all you have to do is, like I said, when the site comes back, is go to localcooling.com, download the application, and pop in a few settings. And then you can log in for an account, and they keep kind of a scoreboard on their website of groups and individuals and how much they're saving. And how much they're impacting your own addition to global warming. Now, there is some aspect of being able to assign yourself to a group, which I'm going to look into, and I'm thinking that we should set up a head-on radio network group, and every one of our listeners that signs up to this and installs the software, all of our local cooling will be added together so we can show as an audience how much we're pulling our usage and waste back. So I really think this is a nifty, nifty little program, and thank you to treehugger.com for pointing that one out. So far, we have both of our machines here running it, and it's seems to not interfere with performance of the machine at all, and it wakes up from hibernation rather quickly. It's quite nice. So anyway, we're coming up on the end of the program for the day. Coming up next is Mr. Bob Kincaid, who I always forget to thank for announcing this program. And as usual, the program was geniusly engineered by Agnes in West Virginia. Our streaming is handled by the White Rose Society, BenBurtz.org. Ben Burtz never sends a bill, so you got to go there and do the right thing. Thank you to Peter Godbold at Godbold Computers for keeping the computers at the home studio running. Also, thanks to Scott Berry at B1 Louder Productions here in Sydney. Thank you for the music. You rock, my friends. And our mods and our bloggers, the news ninjas, Gene and Susan, thank you so much. And the mods in the chat room. And if you haven't been to our chat room, you got to go. You got to go. This is a group of intelligent people that know how to have some fun while talking about disturbing issues. So I'm going to try and get maybe some audio bites for tomorrow from Mr. Rudd as he goes and does the whole media thing the day after. I don't know. Who knows what we'll have tomorrow. So, folks, thank you for spending this hour with me today. I so enjoyed it. Hope to hear from you in the email, john@headonradionetwork.com. We'll see you tomorrow. Be good. Be green.
I ride smooth. She's a clean machine.
So let's start it up. Start it up.
On the start again. What do you got?
I can't compete.
Can't compete. With the riders in the alley.
Either rough it up.
Rough it up.
Hey, if you like it, you can slide it up. Come on, slide it up now. Grown man cry,
cry.
To make a grown man cry,
cry.
To make a grown man cry,
cry.
My eyes dilate, my lips go green, my hands are greasy. She's a mean machine.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush met with a top Shiite leader, Abdulaziz al-Hakim, today in Washington. He is considered a political rival of anti-American cleric Muqtada al-Sadr. Al-Hakim is the head of the largest Shiite bloc in Iraq's parliament. In Iraq, four Marines have died after their helicopter made an emergency landing in a lake in the Anbar province today. 12 others survived the crash, which the military said was the result of mechanical failure. 70 bodies of Iraqis were found dumped throughout the country today, 50 of them in Baghdad. UN Secretary General Kofi Annan said that Iraq is more dangerous now than it was during the regime of Saddam Hussein. The Senate Armed Services Committee confirmation hearings for Robert Gates, President Bush's choice to be the next defense secretary, will begin tomorrow. On Thursday, one day after the bipartisan Iraq Study Group's report is released, the president will meet with British Prime Minister Tony Blair. In Washington today, U.S. Ambassador to the UN John Bolton announced that he will step down when his temporary appointment is up within weeks. Several Republican and Democratic senators have said that they would not support his nomination. In Egypt, an American, 11 Europeans, and several Middle Easterners were arrested today. The Interior Ministry said they were part of an Islamic militant terrorist cell which was plotting terrorist attacks in Middle Eastern countries. In the Philippines, a U.S. Marine has been convicted and sentenced to 40 years in prison for the rape of a local woman. Three other Marines accused of cheering him on and their Filipino driver were all acquitted of complicity in the case. In Venezuela, President Hugo Chavez easily won his re-election to another six-year term. Chavez plans to implement more socialist policies both at home and abroad. The U.S. Supreme Court heard arguments today on a case that involved race and public schools. Specifically, the justices will decide whether Seattle's open choice program establishes student diversity or if it promotes illegal race quotas in the school districts. In Moore Park in Southern Southern California, five homes have been destroyed by a wildfire fueled by wind gusts up to 60 miles an hour. Hundreds of other homes by the blaze, which began early Sunday morning. 1,000 firefighters are fighting the fire. After 5 days of freezing temperatures, there are still hundreds of thousands of residents in Illinois.